morning. And welcome to First Congregational Church. Welcome back to a few of us. And we're very happy that all of you are here with us this day. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, please know that you are most welcome here at First Congregational Church of Westfield. We have a few announcements, and while the announcements are happening, I am going to go get my headset, because I forgot it. I just realized that. Judy, would you like to come in? Do we want to say anything about our luncheon on Wednesday, or are we finished taking reservations? Reservations for the luncheon are closed. If you have a complaint, complain to Judy. All right. We have Janet. Do you want to talk about Make a Joyful Noise? Or I can do, I have a little flyer right here. I can do that. We already have registrants. It's wonderful. So we have people coming to our Make a Joyful Noise to the Lord. We had to advertise in the public school, Make a Joyful Noise, but we know it's really to the Lord. And it's a free workshop for students in grades 1 through 7. Kids will be going into grades 2 through 8 at the end of August. And we have singing, African drumming, arts and crafts, and for me, the most important part, snack. So, I'm coming for the snack. So, there will be a concluding with a performance for parents on Thursday evening at 7:30. I'm certainly planning on being around. Thank you very much to Alice Flight and to Dan Kahaney for their work in organizing an all-church picnic yesterday that had to be postponed from the 3rd. And then some people couldn't go because some of us were representing a funeral yesterday. So thank you for your hard work and all of that. I was sorry to have missed it. Are there any other announcements this morning? I'm going to invite Neville to join me because Neville is our liturgist today. We don't know what to do when the choir is not here. But we're very happy to have Michelle Weiner with us as our soloist this day and Neville as our liturgist. Do we have anything else this morning? Somebody's raising their hand. Tom's pointing. Oh. Gail, we're going to do this now. I was going to do it after. Ignore us for a second. We're going to have our own meeting.
All right. Let's do it after the sermon.
Got it. All right. Are you ready? You're the only one here. Well, you're one. You and Nick. So. Karina got engaged during the dance. Flash the ring. There you go. Let's take a deep breath in. Exhale. And let us worship God.
Good morning.
Speak up.
Yes. We gather as a faith community that works toward welcoming all to our church.
We gather today to be fresh, renewed, and strengthened in our faith and in our resolve for the work we must do together.
Listen, there is a voice calling us.
It is the voice of our divine beloved.
The one who loves us invites us to mingle our voices together.
We call out in worship and praise together.
Bring your hopes, expectations, and longings that you have carried with you throughout the week.
Here they are. We speak them in our spirit and with our words.
Come and worship. Come and praise. Come and pray.
We commit ourselves to the sacred time of celebration.
We stand as your aid.
Please join with me in our prayer of invitation, followed by the Lord's Prayer, as printed in your worship guide. Holy and loving God, with astonishment we see that you renew our strength constantly. Allow us not to forget your presence, even in adversity. And in our turn, we will renew our gratefulness, and we will sing for your love. Hear us now as we pray, as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, beginning in the first verse. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham took his wife Sarai, and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Matthew's gospel, where I will begin with the 9th chapter and the 9th verse. As Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. The girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of that district. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Thank you.
Each of us in our daily lives has encounters. Some of these are unexpected. Seeing an old friend by happenstance in an unforeseen location. Oh, we talk, we catch up, ask about the household or the new dog, or reminisce on the old days. Some encounters, though, are meticulously planned. A 10 o'clock appointment at the chiropractor, a 3 o'clock visit with a church member, 3:45 at the Southwark Village, 7 p.m. with the deacons in Westfield. Kishon, this is what one of my days looks like. I have a whiteboard in the Southwick office that allows me to write all this out, and I snap a picture of it, and it tells me where I'm supposed to be. And Cindy gets a copy, Joseph in Southwick gets a copy, and they're real good, and they tell me where you're supposed to be next. But I can add other things to it or simply block off some reading time, and I usually do all of that off of this. But I have some reading time, writing so that the sermon can get written, and some studying time as well. The latter sort of encounter is the type that we take for granted. Our dutiful and diligent planning keeps us hunkered down in some routine sense of comfort. Other encounters, or at other times, I know that I'm involved in what my friend calls Mr. Nesbitt sightings. We were in Maine one time, and across the street, Mr. Nesbitt! Mark was amazed when we were in California, and we're on the pier shopping in San Francisco, and from across the pier, Mr. Nesbitt? I had my very first Rev Paul sighting in the DCU Center, because it was Jim. I didn't really know Jim that well either, but Jim's like, Rev Paul! And I'm like, wait a second, here I am in the middle of Worcester at the UMass hockey playoff, and there's Jim Yesu. I was like, well, all right. So you never know who you will find or who will find you. I go through all this because we also have God encounters or Jesus encounters. Our reading from Genesis this morning gives the account of Abram's encounter with God. Or the first encounter. Did this go off again?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Brand new system. All right. The Genesis readings are part of the earliest history of our church and are shared with other interfaith religions. In these encounters, these God encounters, it seems that only the worthy are allowed to hear the voice of God or to speak directly to God. Go now and leave your homeland. I will give you a home, said God to Abram. And Abram and Sarai show their trust in God and do so. Our gospel reading today, Matthew and others, had their very own Jesus encounter today, or we read about it today. In this reading, we find that Jesus has at least four different encounters with people who seemed very unlikely to have religious encounters, at least according to the Pharisees. As a tax collector, Matthew was a Jewish man who was hired by the Romans to collect taxes. While there was a certain amount of tax money prescribed that Matthew had to turn over, or any tax collector had to turn over to the Romans, what they could do was they could charge extra and keep the money. So, that is why tax collectors were not very popular. They would overcharge and they would keep the extra money and put it in their pocket on top of what their salary already was from the Romans. Tax collectors, no one's friend back then. We don't like them either, but especially then, because they were taking the extra money. What does Jesus do with Matthew at that point? What does he say to Matthew? Two words.
follow me.
Tax collectors, as I said, were lumped into the sinner category because they basically stole from their own people for their own benefit. And this is why the Pharisees were so surprised to find Jesus with them. So encounter number one today, Matthew. Encounter number two was eating with, I put in quotes, sinners. They don't tell us what they've done wrong. But Jesus has to respond to the Pharisees with his remark about being there for those who truly needed him. To prove his point, he's approached by what can only be assumed to be a Roman leader as we go through and dig through some of our studying. And the Roman leader wants to have his daughter healed. Encounter number three. While this is happening, Jesus is physically touched by the woman with the flow, whom he heals with some simple words. Encounter number four. Now, the parts of this story today that would throw off the original hearers and would make them say, what is going on? Let's review something we've talked about already. The original hearers of Matthew's gospel were Palestinian Christian Jews, people who were of the Jewish faith but wanted not necessarily convert but follow the way of this Jesus. So they were used to, they knew the Jewish way of life, they knew the customs, they knew the social norms of the time. So these are the things that would throw them off. First of all, having a tax collector as a follower. Number two, eating with sinners. Number three, talking with a Roman leader. Number four, he didn't rebuke the woman who touched him for touching him. Men didn't deal with women in public. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't acknowledge each other. It wasn't done. And number five, heals the Roman leader's daughter. Five encounters with Jesus in that small passage from Scripture this morning. All of this leads us to ask the question, how do we encounter Jesus? How do we do this? These could be some congregational response questions if you want to nod your head or say yes or no, if you want. I almost always begin with, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we've included this phrase in a large number of our Facebook ads that we use to invite people to church. Elizabeth and Darlene and I were talking about that because Elizabeth and Darlene are awesome. They share those every week. They're so good. In Southwick, it's written right on top of the bulletin. We say it. We write it. And we nod our heads when we hear it. Do we believe it? Are we willing to practice it? I firmly believe that it's in these moments that when we welcome the stranger, we encounter the risen Christ. If we truly welcome all people to our church, we have to mean all people, regardless of how they're dressed, how they identify, how they talk, how they get here, and who they love. This includes everyone who wants to explore whether they seek a relationship with God and Jesus. This means we welcome those who have been left out, pushed out, or thrown out of other churches. Guess what? That includes me. I'm over it, I think. Only because I know how loved, and that I love, and how loved I am. But we encounter the risen Christ every time we say, welcome. Do we still mean it? But wait, there's more. It is when we feed the poor at the community table or welcome the food pantry's food truck with open arms that we encounter Christ. When people come to our church door in need of someone to talk to or in need some help buying food, we give without qualifying. Ah, you were here last month. I don't care. Here. It's not much, but it's what we have to offer. We encounter Christ. It is when the staff at Blessed Buys, and I've seen them, but I love it, help to dress one of our neighbors or supply them with what they need and allow them to purchase it for whatever they feel they can afford or nothing at all. We encounter Christ. You know this. We've said it a bunch of times here already. We all want to be proud of our church, proud of whom we are called to be, and how we live out our call as Christians. What do we need to do? We need to encourage ourselves, each other, our families, our friends, our neighbors, and even the stranger to encounter Christ. Right here in our midst. Amen. Let us take just a moment of quiet reflection. This morning, as we come to prayer, we keep in mind the joys and concerns that we have listed in our worship guide for our government leaders, for men and women of the armed forces, for our National Guard, Reserves, Peace Corps. We pray for peace in Ukraine, for Hello Haiti and the people who live in Haiti, for our church and our ministry in Westfield and beyond as we encounter Christ. We pray for members and friends of our congregation, for Armand, Olivia, Jonathan, Don, Ann, Jeff, Vanessa, Dave, Kathy, Lisa, Bob, Shirley, Judy, Rick, Joan, Marilyn, Barry, Ralph, Linda, Norma, Donna, Jackie, Kurt, Ariana, and John. We remember our friends in senior care facilities for Kathy, Betty, Barbara, Joan, and Nancy. We remember those people who are near the end of their time on this earth. And we pray in a special way for Lynn and her family as they prepare to say goodbye to her mom. We rejoice and we share our celebration with those who have graduated and our new licensed people whom we will celebrate at the conclusion of this prayer. We also remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. May God be with you.
And also with you.
Please, pray with me. Loving God, you have created us, blessed us, and forgiven us. You send us to share your forgiveness with fellow sinners. Help us to do that eagerly and well. Give us strength to find our joy and purpose in life by loving you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Help us to shape your church into an image that even Jesus would recognize. Make it a place of steadfast love and righteousness. Make it a place of forgiveness, hope, and praise. Make it a place of truth and grace. Like Abram, Sarai, and Matthew, we are called to do new things that may not always be accepted. Help the persecuted. Give them the fullness of joy that Jesus promised, because he has overcome the world. Help them to share that joy in the hope that is within them, even with their enemies, so that in Christ they may be reconciled. Guide the people of this congregation in pathways of faithful worship, loving service, and wise words. Let everything we say and do help lead even one other person into a relationship with Jesus. We ask you, O God, to please give wisdom, integrity, in common sense to everyone in positions of authority and in our country and around the world. Teach them rightly to use the authority and power entrusted to them, and help all of us to be good neighbors, citizens, and stewards of your creation. Your Son healed everyone who called upon him for aid. We pray, therefore, on behalf of everyone who suffers in body, mind, and or spirit, especially those who are in our joys and concerns, as well as those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, that we take a moment now to quietly acknowledge. Hear our prayers, O God, and answer them as may be best for us, and give you glory. Amen.
Gail and I'll have another little mini meeting. Only because I have things written down in here, so I'm joining the 21st century, whether I like it or not. I know. It's killing me. Nick!
Yeah.
Come here. And they're going to turn this one down a little bit, Tommy, right?
Hi.
Nick, tell us what you've been up to. What did you get?
I got my permit.
You got your permit. All right. So we are going to ask God to bless you. Please, pray with me. Lord, please send your Holy Spirit to guide Nick on this journey. Help him to make wise decisions and to keep alert to potential dangers. Prevent him from being distracted behind the wheel. If the time should come, Lord, when danger is near, we ask that you take over and guide Nick to safety from danger. While you're at it, Lord, please watch over all the other drivers on the road. Remove the distractions that cause accidents and dissolve the anger and irritability that turns to road rage. Watch over Nick, guide his mind, and keep him safe. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you.
He's supposed to be a little sixth grader. That's why. How what grade was he when I met him in Wilbraham?
Sixth grade.
He was volunteering at Vacation Bible Camp because his mom was working. It was awesome. Come, join me up here. We're going to spare your new other half for now. That's going to come a little later. Not today. It's like your second time here. I can't bear it. Karina is a new... Karina is a new graduate, has her bachelor's of science in nursing from BayPath. Pat, her baby was just Also the home of the National College Champions. All right, Dad's a Quinnipiac grad too.
And mom too.
Oh man, we're surrounded. All right, by all these Quinnipiac. And tell us what you're going to be doing. You have to go loud without the microphone for you.
I'm going to be an ICU nurse starting in July.
Cool. Good for you.
Oh, that's awesome. And she's newly engaged. Yes. So that makes me hey. We want to pray for Karina as well, so please pray with me. Gracious and caring God, our source of light, we ask for your almighty hand to be upon Karina as we send her forward. With her classes and grading now complete, may she strive towards excellence in nursing, in the field of medicine, and all that she does. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And Gail has some presentations that she'd like.
We're going to announce the high school seniors.
The high school seniors, by the way, are not with us today. But what we'll do is, whenever they come to church, we're going to bless them. High school seniors are kind of hard to pin down, especially at this point. Sam Yesu is part of the boys volleyball team. They're in the Final Four in Massachusetts, so Westfield High. And I've had a chance to, a couple of times, three times, I think, to see them play. I am not that they've lost only once or twice. I was there for one of the losses. We were concerned that it was my fault, but it's not. So I went when they won, so we're good. But Sam will come and join us at some point. He's at practice. They practiced at 9:30 this morning on Sunday. All right. The Queens are on the way. Bobby graduated from Westfield Tech Academy. Kaylin graduated from Westfield High. Joey graduated from the Police Academy. So the Koreans as well. And we would be remiss if we did not mention Westfield High softball, also in the Final Four in the state of Massachusetts coming up this week. So we send them our best wishes, and we'll ask God for a little extra blessing if he happens to be watching softball and volleyball this week. So we'll get to all of those folks, we hope, as they come in to church. That should not deter them from coming, though. Don't know. Helen's pretty famous. So, Gail, you want to hit a microphone?
Yeah.
Although I could probably talk loud enough. Is this one on?
Yep.
All right. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's helped with our youth group, church school program. In the elementary area, Lisa Crean, Andrea Polly, Amy Platt, and Nick Platt has been my helper almost all of this year, my second. So it gives me time to come down and worship service, and it gives them time, too, because we all share the load. The older group, Jim Yesu, Dan Comey, Reverend Paul, Amy Platt, Julie Domino, Greg Hamill, and Alice Flight, and if I've missed anyone, I'm sorry. But they've taken care of going to the retreat and a few other activities that they have sponsored. They've been chaperones and organized all of that. And a big shout out to I couldn't even name them all, but the people, especially for the retreat, who helped make the food and got the kids where they needed to be. So thank you all, because it takes all of us to have this youth program.
Gail gets them all again. Come on, Gail.
Told everybody, I'm getting old and senile. Best obviously was Shay.
We are called to build community, one beyond the status quo and beyond our own expectations. And of course, this comes at a cost of time, talent, and treasure. Our gifts are likewise varied, but valuable in the sight of God and each other. It is our willing hearts that make our gifts precious. In our giving, no matter how much or what kind, we connect our spirits and continue the work of the kingdom of God. And with this, our morning offering will be received. Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Those who live in God's love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.